The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening and watching right here, the Kiefer and Curry Show on Tony Curry Radio. We welcome you to our podcast, a show where Kip and I basically talk about things that are important to us that we hope are important to you. We talk a lot of sports here, obviously, on Tony Curry Radio. Kip, where are you at right now? You're in Columbus?
Columbus, Ohio. Home of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Yuck.
My brother lives up in that area near a little area called Delaware.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're also, they have a place up there called Schmidt's House of Sausage. They have the home of the Bahama Mama. If you get a chance to stop, all you got to do is ask someone for Schmidt's. I promise you, you will love it. You will want to eat it the rest of your life. Schmidt's Sausage House. It's called a Bahama Mama. Check out one of those bad boys before you leave town.
Great tip. I just had one restaurant experience. It was great. So went to the hockey game last night here. The Vegas Golden Knights happened to be in town while I'm here for a convention. So they didn't play very well, but it was an exciting atmosphere. Columbus seems like a great sports town, already knowing that for Ohio State, but we're enjoying ourselves.
And pardon me for thinking, because when you told me you were at a convention, and I know how often you go out to Vegas, because obviously you have family out there and you do a lot of business out there, I thought for sure that if you're thinking Vegas or Columbus, Ohio, and then you throw the word convention in there, you'll have to excuse me. I automatically thought, well, it's got to be Las Vegas, not Columbus, Ohio, because I know that Columbus is not the mecca of conventions.
Not generally, no.
There's not a sphere up there? Is there a sphere up there?
No sphere, no giant Ferris wheel that I've discovered so far. No bright lights on the strip of downtown Columbus, but it's fine. The racing commissioners typically go to places where satellite organizations are housed, and this I did not know is Columbus is the home of the harness racing organization.
Really?
So they're here kind of in conjunction to support those folks.
Harness racing, where is that at right now as a sport? Still as big as it's ever been? Smaller? It's been so long since I've seen a harness race.
I think it's fallen off some. But it's still very popular in certain pockets of the country. New York, particularly up in the Northeast. It's kind of a Midwest, Texas, New Mexico still is the host of the biggest event in harness racing. It's still kind of spread around, but still a lot of support for it. It's a sport that's interesting because guys like me and you are the guys in the sulky behind the horses. It's not 20-year-old chiseled, multi-dimensional athletes. It's old guys that don't have to weigh 110 pounds. That those horses drag around, and it's from that standpoint, it's kind of fun to see contemporaries of ours. To me, it's great to see an old guy doing anything.
I hear, and it is fun to watch because it's not something you see every single day. And believe it or not, and I get this from my old Herb Winch's friend. He used to think that handicapping those races was a lot easier than handicapping regular horse racing.
Yeah.
Like, really? You see, like, there's all kinds of things. You're looking at the carriage, you're looking at the driver. I mean, there's so many different things, intricacies, if you will, to handicapping harness racing that is unlike horse racing as a whole. So it's pretty fascinating.
Well, it just seems like there's less variables. The best horse usually is the fastest and goes to the lead, and they got to come catch him, and a lot of times they don't.
You're right. All right. You ready today? I'm going to lean on you, partner.
Okay. I'm sturdy. Right. I'm ready for it.
So I listen to both your shows here on, obviously, my radio station, Tony Curry Radio. I love Need to Know. And you do talk a lot of politics. And, of course, we also do a TV show together on ABC 3340. By the way, Paul Feinbaum will be our special guest on our show.
That?
Yeah, Paul's going to join the show coming up this Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock on ABC 3340. It's called The Starting Lineup. And then, of course, we also do the Kiefer and Curry Show. And I really enjoy not only listening to your shows, but also speaking to you about things, because I do think you're a forever man, and not from the Eric Clapton take Forever Man, although that's a great song. I think you're well steeped and a lot of different things of knowledge. You have a lot of knowledge about a lot of different things, as opposed to one thing that you're just really into, like horse racing certainly would be that. But I can ask you, you're a good party guest. I could take you to a party and pretty much, you could pretty much open yourself up and say, listen, I don't know what this party's about or who's going to be there, but you would find someone that's interested in what you have to say. Does that make sense?
Are there going to be women there?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't seem to, you know, there's supposed to be so many women running around the country. I don't know where they hang out. Well, I never see any of them.
We're going to find one today. And her name is Nikki Haley. And I tell you something right now. She is, for me, she is soft in the eyes. I have always been a Nikki Haley.
Yes, very attractive.
And it's funny because I'm seeing her now on television more than I've ever seen her. And man, they get the cameras, those HD cameras sometimes just get too close. Sometimes I look at her and I'm like, that doesn't even look like her. But so they can paint her to look as beautiful as she wants. And of course, she's got some Indian descent. I love that exotic look. Anyway, she's a very attractive lady. Let's not take this down the dumper here and make it too shallow, because we're not talking about looks, although I think she'd be one of the most attractive people to ever win the presidency. So we're doing the show on Super Tuesday. Alabama, one of the primary states. And it's come to my acknowledgement that the two-party system obviously is not working in this country. We got the Democrats and then we got the Republicans. And you even said this, and this made me think about our topic today. You said you're an independent. And I would say wholeheartedly, if there was an independent party that I could be part of, I would love to be part of it. And I think the majority of people that live in this country would love to be part of a third party that is not fully conservative, you know, gun-toting, blue collar, you know, red out my ass state, to the point where, you know, I'm going to go insurrection, blah, 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 right wing crap. And then, of course, the liberal, gay loving LGBTQ, you know, left coast LA liberal type of thing. I really believe this country somewhere in the middle. And I think we have been for a long period of time. And you just kind of pick, you know, which side you want. And I think for the first time I can remember in my life, there normally is someone running for presidency, at least, you know, through the mid-80s, that I actually was looking forward to seeing in the office. Now it feels like the last four or five elections, we're picking the lesser of two evils. Am I wrong there?
No, you're absolutely right.
We're just picking the lesser of two
evils. I think I've mentioned on the show before, there's a classic South Park episode where the PETA runs they're called the cows, of course, at South Park. Uh-huh. For those of you who aren't familiar, they decide that's offensive to cows. So the school buckles to the pressure, has to have a brand new mascot. And the nominations for the new mascot for South Park School are the giant douche and the turd sandwich. and I've said the last few elections to me, Tony, seems like a giant douche against a turd sandwich. You take the one that's the least offensive.
So I'm not going to pretend that I know anything about politics. I've lived in this country. I've voted in every election. So I've got as much to say about this election as anybody else does. And I'm going to carry that to my grave. And I vote every single election, and I've not missed one. I think it's super important, and we're voting at a better clip now than we ever have in this country. If you know, there's always as good that comes out of every bad, and despite the fact that the last two or three of our elections have just been nasty, just absolutely nasty, and this is going to be no different this year with Trump and Biden more likely getting back in there and just going fisticuffs. I think it's hilarious. I think it's funny. I think it's sad in a lot of ways. But I will be a voter. So my vote counts as much as anyone else's. And I know you're a very patriotic individual. But I will say this: I love the fact that Nikki Haley is sticking it out. I love the fact that she stayed out all the way through Super Tuesday. Even Democrats are saying that they love the fact that she is not folding up tent, that she does bring something to the table that a lot of people in this country are loving, and that is she is not backing down to the pressure of anybody. She speaks to me. And again, I'm not trying to get people to vote for Nikki Haley. I'm just saying the more people that are involved, I'm in a competition. Okay. You and I have had this discussion. When we had 20 different radio owners in this town, it was the best town I'd ever worked in. We had 20 different owners, 20 different radio station owners, and we were all trying to kick the shit out of each other. And it was fun. It was a blast. And then when it consolidated, we got down to two or three. Now you can't even get a job in radio. You can't even do it anymore. So when a consolidation gets so bland and so big that the competition can't breed, I think it's a bad thing in any type of industry, and including politics. So you know, she said something about abortion, which I thought was really interesting. And again, it's about abortion in this country is about as black or white as it gets. But she said, listen, she said, am I pro-life? Yes, I'm pro-life. Do I believe in abortion? No, I don't. But if your state decides that you want to have abortion laws and that is your state and that is your belief, who am I to tell you whether you can or cannot have that child? And I thought, coming from a woman, I thought, wow, I haven't heard that spin on abortion. Uh-huh. It's you're either in or you're out. You can't go down the middle of that road. And she did. Nope. And she's gone down the middle of the road on a lot of things. I'm just using that as an example, which I absolutely love. And I just kind of started following her, and she's seeing through a lot of this bullshit that we're getting to, where, you know, Donald Trump's talking about dictatorships. And I mean, every time he opens his mouth, he's talking about something. I'm like, oh my God, gosh, and there's Joe Biden, and I can't understand a word he's saying. You can use your petticoat.
But he's robust, Tony.
He is robust, man. His doctor said he is robust. If you
miss, your eyes and ears are deceiving you. A dynamo.
If you miss Need to Know this week, listen to Need to Know this week, and you'll hear his doctor. I wish my doctor would say I was robust. Exactly. That would be stellar. So it is certainly the lesser two evils. And here comes this spry, attractive, young woman. We should have had a woman president already. I'm not saying should have. I'm not saying that Hillary should have won. She was going to win until she just threw the hat in the last 3 weeks when she was going to win the election. It was a done deal. She was 10 points above everyone. She fell apart. She choked. She choked. Yep. So here comes this woman, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, if we had to have a woman in the White House, well, it would better you have to have an attractive looking woman who seems like she's got it together. And she certainly has a long track record there in South Carolina. I don't go to South Carolina. I don't follow South Carolina. My son goes to school, Clemson. It's as close as it gets. So, but I've done some research on her. And I think a lot of people are trying to find a reason to want to like her. And so the fact that she's sticking it out knowing she's not going to win anything, I think says a lot, because I think these are the people that you must have. Listen, when you're going into war, and I'm saying, Kip, we got to take this ridge. There are 16,000 of them, and there are 8,000 of us, and we're probably going to lose, and it's going to be ugly, and every one of those soldiers is going to lose their life, but it's not going to be in vain, because we are going to take a chunk of land by doing this, and someone's got to pay. You could say this is D-Day, this is Normandy, whatever it took to go break in and finally break through the wall. We just got to get the ants in the house to start getting into the cupboards, right? So we've got to make that commitment, and we got to make that sacrifice, and I believe, and I'm just got to be careful how you paint these things, because I don't want to make an analogy about war veterans with Nikki Haley by any stretch. But I do think that knowing she's not going to win, but sticking out as long as she has, I think is in the American way. I think she's letting us see a side of her that she's not going away. She's here to stay. And I would fully expect her, if in fact she could get the party behind her. You know, remember when Joe Biden now won the election, the last election, who was supposed to be our next president? It was going to be Kamala Harris. Everyone talked about if he takes her as the VP, oh, here we go. Joe's setting the table for Kamala. Do you remember that? 3 years ago, everyone was saying, well, Kamala's, she's going to run for president because it's going to be Kamala's to win because she's the young, she's the woman, she's the Democrat. They're going to have that. And man, you haven't heard squat from her ever since she stepped into that VP position.
And what you have heard is frankly embarrassing.
Yeah, really embarrassing.
You talk about somebody completely over their head, not suited for the top job of vice president, let alone president.
They haven't allowed
her to do
anything.
She's basically disqualified herself, not even with people that are politically against her, but people in general have just dismissed her now as, you know, too flighty and not serious and really just cannot substantively address any issue with any great knowledge of competency or confidence.
They will not allow her to speak. And as much as they don't want Joe to speak, you're up there saying, please do not improvise, Joe. Just stick to the script.
Yeah.
He's going to do he wants to do what he's going to do. Kamala's being told, just keep your mouth shut. Don't say a word, because when she starts laughing, I'm lost on it. So, okay. So she was supposed to be the president. That's not going to happen. So here's where I lean on you, and I've talked for 12 minutes, so I'm going to shut up because I want to hear your thoughts on this. How do we get this country to accept a third party of an independent party where if you said, listen, we're opening up this new store today. We got the Democratic store on this block. We have the Republican store on this block. And we're going to open up a store in the middle called the Independents. You're welcome to join our party. Is that something you'd like to see in this country? Is it something we need to have in this country? Do we need to expand and have more than just the right and the left? Because it seems too extreme. There's no one that wants to go down the middle anymore. And I know you said yourself, you're an independent. I would certainly be the first one to hold your hand and walk through that gate with you. Your thoughts on that and what it would take in this country to do that?
Well, sadly, we're at a point where it's all about money, Tony. It's all about the money you can raise, the donors you can attract. That's the excitement. It's not the numbers, because you're right. Statistics show now that the overwhelming majority of Americans don't identify with either party because they're both on such different degrees of extremism. Yep. That, I tend to support more Republican candidates at this point, because the Republicans at least have factions of people that have different opinions. The Democrats, it's the weirdest thing. It's almost as if, even if you've got the most centrist guy who wins a Democrat vote, they go to Washington, and I don't know if they torture them or if they inject them with some kind of drug, but the Democrats vote 100% solidarity on everything.
Everything.
Even if they are people like Tlaib, the representative from Michigan, who's from the Middle East originally, is a naturalized citizen here, who is so far on the left and so extreme, down to some Democrats from the Deep South that always have been traditionally centrist. The Democrats in the House of Representatives they're only a three-member minority this time. They have voted absolutely consistently, every single one of them, on every bill that's contentious in the House of Representatives, where the Republicans are all over the place. It took the Republicans 17 votes to name McCarthy the original mm-hmm. speaker, and then they fired him after just a year, mm-hmm. and it took another couple of months to get Mike Johnson the current speaker. So the Republicans have a lot of fractures in their party, and you've got a lot of the other reason I can't identify with the Republicans, though, is because the Republican Party is it's a lot of guys. I heard somebody say a couple of months ago, the problem with our system right now is you've got Democrats in Washington that are 100% Democrat, and you've got Republicans that are about 55% Democrat, mm-hmm. because they're all kind of on the same team. And I've been stressing this for so long that this is not about Republican Democrats so much as massive central government against the regular citizens, you and me, and everybody else in the United States. If we're not in Washington or New York and Los Angeles, we're just considered insignificant. And Americans have gotten tired of that, like you and I, and want to identify with a movement that's more in line with what we believe in. But the money's just not there right now. And yes, I give Nikki Haley credit for carrying on. But, Tony, the sad fact is that the reason she's carried on, where DeSantis and so many others, Tim Scott and so many of the others, have dropped out, is because their funding dries up. As soon as people realize they have no shot, their money stops coming in and they can't sustain a campaign. And that's a shame.
Well, and she'll tell you that. That's the reason why she's staying is because she does have the money behind
because
her.
Because she's still got a flood of money coming in.
Okay, so she's got support.
But the reason where the money's coming from? The money's coming from people because there's a big wing of Republican people that are more in economic privilege that just detest Donald Trump. So the money Nikki Haley's getting are not so much Nikki Haley support. It's I hate Donald Trump. Yep. Never Trumpers yep. are funding her to stick around and be kind of the paid hit person right now to continue to attack Trump. And she's even getting support from some big Democrat vote. Donors for the same reason. So it's in their best interest to keep her in. And as long as the cash is rolling into the campaign, she's willing to soldier on. So, you know, again, the game is way, way too much dictated by funding and donors and money. And until a third party can form and people actually believe that they can win, the best way in my mind to do that is to rally. And this year, Joe Manchin and several other kind of centrist Democrats had talked about forming this no labels party and trying to come up with an idea to run a third party candidate. But apparently they didn't really spark the interest of people with money. And sadly, in every situation, that is what's going on right now. These Senate races, so lucrative and so important for both sides to win and get control of the different chambers. There's a Senate race right now going on in California with the death of Dianne Feinstein, who was the senator for 87 years in California recently. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but not much. The race is between Adam Schiff, who has been a very controversial congressman from California, right in the middle of all the Trump-Russia investigation, which turned out to be absolute baloney, and Steve Garvey, the former first baseman for the LA Dodgers, Clean Steve, running against him. And that race just between those two guys already has resulted in $150 million being poured in there. And it's going to quadruple by the time the election comes. So it's all run by money. And that's just a damn shame, because that should not be the criteria how we select our leaders.
It shouldn't. And by the way, if you want to go follow someone fun, whether you want to vote for him or not, go check out Steve Garvey. If for any, we got Major League Baseball season starting here in 3 weeks, so I'm starting to get a little boned up on some Steve Garvey. But I mean, I know how much he loves his chicken, but he's pretty amazing political figure, man. You think Sonny Bono was out there a little bit? Go check out some of the things he runs on. It's really interesting. You know, I love analogy. So we had cash for a long, long time. And then we had credit for a long, long time. And then all of a sudden out of left field came this thing called Bitcoin.
Yes.
And I just saw yesterday where Bitcoin just set a record. It is now worth like $62,000 per share, right? And I'm thinking, what the hell? Just a year ago, this scumbag who had a $32 billion place down in the Bahamas just got called out. The whole thing just fell apart. All the air came out and everyone got out. You didn't see a bit. You didn't see Matt Damon, you know, pining and pimping his Bitcoin commercials anymore. And all of a sudden, Bitcoin is worth more than it's ever been worth now, despite all that stuff. The other thing is, we used to have gas. Then we had diesel. Then we had diesel and we had gas and diesel for years and years and years. Now, all of a sudden, we got this stuff called hybrid or electric, and now we're buying electric cars and hybrid cars. It took years and years and years and years for people to finally say, listen, we've got the thing out of a different way, whether we're going to start using Bitcoin, and I'm not saying it's going to work, whether we're going to buy electric, and I'm never going to do that, or whether we're going to find a different party, that be the independent party in between the Republicans and Democrats. And I'm just wondering who's going to be willing to finally, that word independent is the death way. If you say you're independent, you're out. You're basically saying I can't run, which is ridiculous. It's a joke. If you're Republican, Democrat, you can run for anything. But if you're in this country and say I'm an independent, we don't know what to do with you. We're like, oh, okay, well, yeah, but what side are you on? You can't be independent. It's like pick your side, Auburn, Alabama. I root for both. It don't work in that state. You can't do that. You have to be one or the other, and you have to be 110% one or the other. You can't be a little bit of both. But most people in this country are a little bit of both, not Auburn, Alabama. But certainly when it comes to politics, they are. And so someone's going to have to take the sword and say, listen, I'm doing this for the betterment of this country, and start running this. And I don't know how you're a political guy. You hang out with very, very high touted political people, including, of course, Terry Quillian, his attorney general. She's been part of this stuff. She knows the ins and outs of the White House like nobody's business. And that's why you guys are so good together. But what would it take? What's it going to take? Is it going to take another Bernie Sanders to get it? What's it going to take to make this country realize we need to have a different third branch? And how long would it take before it would take it over?
Well, I think we're getting pushed more to that point, because if you listen to any of these people that are currently the quote leaders, unquote, of our country, you find yourself realizing that you really don't affiliate ideologically with any of them. You know, I can't tell you how many times that I just shake my head, because let me give you a good example. Right now, with Joe Biden underwater in so many polls, it's terrifying to think that with what's happening in the Middle East, with the Palestinians and the Israelis and this ongoing conflict here, it's terrifying to think that we're at a stage where the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, and all of his advisors are making decisions on strategic and economic and all the other aspects that are involved in that based on what's politically expedient yes. for them.
Yes. Thank you.
That just tells Thank you what you. A terrible place we're at.
Thank you. Very good.
And if you're catering to people that feel, and that's a polarizing issue, where in this country, a lot of young people and people that we've allowed to come to the country and even recruited over the years, there's giant pockets of Muslim population, particularly in Michigan and Minnesota, who have elected now representatives. But the bottom line is you've got that camp against this country's older generation and people that have historically been conditioned to America being an absolutely unapologetic supporter of Israel since World War II with the Holocaust and everything that's happened to people of the Jewish faith. So you've got that polarizing situation right now, and candidates for Senate and president and all the other offices are having to pick a side, because if you're wishy-washy and you're kind of in the middle, which any practical thinker, you know, I'm sure it reaches conclusions pro and con to that issue of which way to think. But if you or I or any other independent thinker even says to somebody who's passionate right or passionate left that, you know, I'm kind of on the fence, well, they immediately dismiss you as not a competent individual because you can't take a stand.
That's right.
And we're so, why, Tony, at this stage of the game, are all of us so worried about being, nobody will speak up or say what's on their mind because they're worried somebody's going to criticize them. I don't give a damn if somebody criticizes me. I take my stands based on my research and my reading and my knowledge and my historical perspective. And I articulate that. Mm-hmm. And if somebody disagrees with me, I get guys on Twitter, or excuse me, X, all the time, you know, basically tell me that I'm unprincipled because I don't have a solid opinion on either side. But that doesn't make you wishy-washy or undecided. That just means that you can see the complexities of an issue, and it's not black and white. Yep. Because so many of the issues we face today are very complicated, and you have to have perspective that reflects that, or I don't think you're a intellectually functioning properly in person.
Normally, you have to go through the depths of hell. It's always darkest before the dawn. We've heard all these analogies and I kind of feel like we've been going through that in this country. I heard a board of people talking, both Republicans and Democrats, the other day, talking about how, we're fighting for our democracy. We're not fighting for our democracy in this country. If Donald Trump wins the election, we're still going to have our democracy. It's not going, and they're putting everything in one. They're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, the whole nine yards, because that's what we do in this country. We knee jerk. We have to have the hottest take, the breaking news stuff. It's the red line at the top and the bottom of the screen. We have to have democracy is gone. This country is going to change forever. No, it's not. And the same goes with Joe Biden. The whole world's not going to end in 3 years. We're not going to be flying electric cars up and down Highway 280 in 2028. Joe Biden ends up, it's not going to happen. Okay. Cause it's going to take time. I certainly understand the fervor and I understand the passion. And I understand the concern with each independent party, regardless of whether it's Republican or Democrat. But I do think there is a faction of people out there that we're the ones that are the majority, but we also aren't the ones that speak up loud enough, because the smallest faction usually is the loudest. That goes for transgender people. That goes for Democrats, Republicans. That goes for LGBTQ. It goes for guns rights. It goes for anything that's special needs, special figures, special whatever. If the word special's in part of it, they have a small group of people that are really, really loud. And everyone wants to be part of something that's really, really loud. That's why cults seem to do so well in this country. And we got this faction of individuals who I bet, like you said, is probably 60% of Americans, that they want to dash a little Republican in there. They want to dash a little Democrat in there. They want to dash a little independent in the middle. And no one's going to like it because you can't say this, this, or this. You have to take sides, and it's driving people crazy. But I really believe we'd probably end up getting some new people. But do we have any brash, young 32, 35, 37. Hell, we're about ready to put another 80-year-old into the White House. Do we have anybody out there in their 30s or 40s or hell, even their 50s? The 50s, you're young. I turned 58 on Thursday. I'm a baby compared to Joe Biden. I'm a baby compared to Donald Trump. I could be their second son, for God's sakes. Is there anybody out there that is going to see that, listen, you can be a president at the age of 80. So if you get involved in politics now in your 30s, we're going to give you 40 years to figure this out. We're going to give you 40 years to figure this out. Is there any way we could perhaps get a third party or at least a different party? So like you said, we're not all voting. You know, my dad was Republican and he was from the great state of Ohio, and he voted straight Republican. Until I left home, I thought straight Republican meant you weren't a homosexual. And I was like, well, of course you're straight, Danny. Goes, no, not that straight. I vote straight Republican. That means if there's an R next to it, baby, that's the box I'm filling in. And I said, don't you do any research? Don't you find out what these people are pining for, what their agenda is? Nope. He goes, I'm part of the Republican Party and I vote Republican. So he was in and out of the voting booth in like 3 seconds every 4 years. I mean, he was done. If you're voting straight along party lines, you and I'm talking about my dad, and I loved him to death. You got to be willing to change your mind and look at the other side just a little it's bit. If we're going to change, you have to, if you're voting straight, whatever, get out of the way.
You hit two really strong points there. Number one is this audacious experiment that is America with representative government of the people, by the people, yes, for the people. Tony, the formula for that to work is the remarkable trait that is kind of a lost art in our current society. It is the willingness to negotiate and compromise. You're not going to get everything you want, and the other side's not going to get everything they want, but we have lost the ability to sit down. This is how the system was conceived. This is the brilliance of democracy, is to elect leaders that can negotiate with each other and come up with the best solution for the American people, not for the retention of their job, which is the cushiest in the world. If you have the golden ticket and are a member of Congress, you've got it made. That's why these people run for office the day they get there to take the seat for this term, right, because it's the best gig in the world. People are giving you checks right and left to support this and support that. This is for your campaign. These people go in middle-class citizens and come out multimillionaires. Yep. They're wined and they're dined and they're catered to. It's the greatest gig in the world. But the problem is now, because of the absolutes and again, the money that both parties command, if you deviate, if you go up there and you don't vote along party lines, they basically find a way to get rid of you.
Yeah.
They find a way in the next election to not support you and support somebody that's going to toe the line.
That's disgusting. So it's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting.
Terrible.
For someone, you know, and then as soon as they do something bipartisan, it was like, oh, you know, we reached across the aisle and we were working together. And they're making it sound like it's a great thing. Yet your own party's trying to kill you if you try to see the other side. It doesn't make sense. It's crazy.
It's terrible. So that's the one thing. Democracy is based on compromise, and we don't have the ability anymore as people to see both sides of an issue. And that's, again, why so many of us have kind of gravitated to the middle. The other point you made about straight betting. I did that on the show on the other day.
Yeah, I love straight betting.
I've got betting and politics because that's kind of what it is. It's a gamble every day. But you've got in the political system, you've got people's voting patterns established by longtime just muscle memory, because they learned it from their father who learned it from their father. Mm-hmm. That's how people used to vote. I'm a Democrat. I'm voting straight Democrat. It doesn't matter if you've got a serial killer running for city council, if you've got a child molester running for dog catcher, I'm voting straight Democrat because I'm a Democrat.
Yep.
Same thing with Republicans. And that's just a ridiculous thing, because this is something that absolutely just confounds me. You've got polls that show that right now the approval rating for the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate is 14%. That means if you go up and ask 100 people, are you happy with Congress? 86 out of the 100 said, hell no, I'm not happy with them. Crazy. They suck. However, if you look, these people get elected 3, 4, 5 terms. Senators have 6-year terms, Tony. We sent Richard Shelby from Alabama up there 6 times. Mm-hmm. He was the senator for 36 years. That's not how the system was conceived.
No.
Politics was not supposed to be a lifetime occupation. Richard Shelby would come back to Alabama. You'd never see him for 6 years. He'd come back and shake a few hands and kiss a few babies. They'd send him back up there. I said on a political show a few years ago when Shelby was still the senator, and now Katie Britt has taken his place, a former chief of staff of his in Alabama. She's a rising star in the Republican Party.
Yeah, she is.
She's only 44. She has just been picked to give the rebuttal Thursday night this week to Joe Biden's State of the Union. So she is
a rising star. She's a badass. Yeah, I don't want to
mess Katie with her. Keep an eye on Katie Britt, so maybe that'll fit the bill.
Her husband was a badass too.
But with all of that said, with the percentages of people being disillusioned, they still send the same senator and congressman to Washington every time. So it's like, I hate the Senate, but my guy's awesome. Mm-hmm. Because he's a Democrat and I'm a Democrat, or he's a Republican, I'm a Republican. You have to put some thought into the game. You can't just bet straight, because again, I don't care if you're whatever your designation, if you're the best person for the job. And that's another thing we've gotten away from. You talk about the groups that are represented, the Democrats now standing on this mantle of DEI, the whole fairness thing, equity, inclusion, diversity. If you start staffing different things, if I'm in a foxhole fighting in a war, use this comparison before, I want to look over and see the baddest ass imaginable next to me. I don't care what his habits are, what his politics are. I want a bad man next to me, in that foxhole. I don't want to look over and see that bad man has been replaced by, somebody who's a trans, jeweler. That's diversity, equity, and inclusion in theory is a nice concept. But if you're replacing the most competent person just to get numbers and make yourself feel like, I'm performing exactly what I'm trying to achieve here by getting all of these fringe characters involved in any number of things. What happened to putting the best person possible?
Yes.
And if a trans person or a gay person or somebody that has some kind of fascination with anything is the best person for the job, that's who I'm hiring.
Go for it.
And I don't care. I don't care if they're white, black, blue, or polka dot. If it's the best person, we've got to get back to that, because everything else is insanity.
I've got to add one more piece to this puzzle. We could probably do another show. There was a satellite that was sent up out of, was it Fort Myers yesterday? One of these space rockets. By the way, we're shooting up around 60 to 70 space rockets a month right now. It's crazy how much traffic is up there. But they're sending some type of satellite up there to communicate with terrestrials, ETs and aliens. And up against that story, I saw a story about our border and about everything that's happening down, building the wall. And of course, that's probably going to be coming to the forefront again now with Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and they can't figure out what they're going to do. And of course, our border policy absolutely sucks. We've got 50,000 people a day walking across and just walking into our country, doing whatever they want.
Don't know who they are or where they've come from or anything.
Where is our thinking? And I heard someone, I forget who it was, and I'd give anything to find out, but they said, we're reaching out to extraterrestrials, and we're reaching out to people in this grand old universe of ours to let them know that we're friendly, that we're kind, that they're welcome to come here. we're sending satellites billions of miles away to invite things we don't even know what the hell they are, what they want, what they eat, how they're going to treat us. And we're saying, we want to let you know that we're a peaceful people and you're welcome to come here anytime you want. Yet we're shutting down our borders of a family of 16 coming from Guatemala because they're trying to get away from the rain of gunfire every night over their bedroom windows. I think it's the funniest thing that we're actually going out there. We're trying to invite people to come visit us from a different universe, yet we don't want our Mexican or Guatemalan friends to even remotely touch this land because they haven't done the proper paperwork. Something's really fucked up there, man.
I mean, that is a perfect tie-in to what we're talking about here. Terry and I use the term all the time on our political shows that there needs to be a separate court that just issues lunacy warrants because that judge would be the busiest guy on earth.
No doubt.
Because and Tony, I guess a good way to kind of wrap this up is, you know, I think we were raised at an idyllic time in this country, mm-hmm. coming off of World War just a decade or so before. And there was a lot of nationalism, a lot of commonality with Americans. It wasn't this contentious. No. There were people that had different opinions. But was I naive to think that everybody was sort of on the same page then? Or was it really boiling under the surface of what we were going to see? Because it seems to me like all this has come to pass in a very quick period of time, where 10 years ago, I would have told you, you know, like Kevin Bacon in Animal House, all is well.
Does 9/11 play into this? You just said 10 years. Yeah. And obviously that was
it's been
23 years, but you know, when you get old, 10 years is 20. Whenever you sit there and say it's been 6 years, exactly. I've seen you, it's been 20. You always double it. When you get older, you just double it. I'm not saying there was one particular time in this country where all of a sudden it just, the lights switched on, but I remember how patriotic and how wonderful it was to live in this country.
Everybody had an American flag in front of
their house. We didn't have skin colors. We had none of that crap, man. We were just wanting to help each other, and we were helping each other at record levels. And we know this. We are the most giving, compassionate country in the world. Period. Not just because we can, but because we want to. And there's a lot to be said about that. And I congratulate every person in this country that wants to help Ukraine or wants to help their brother down the street who can't find enough food on their dinner table later on tonight, whether it's a local thing or whether it's an international thing. I don't care. You're helping your brothers, you're helping your sisters. I love that. But I'm trying to think, when did it all switch over? Because normally, like you said, war will bring us together. You know, they always say that when your economics sucks, what do? You go to war. I mean, it brings your economy back. It brings people closer together. It's a horrible thing as you go through. And certainly looking at this Ukraine and Russian thing right now, and certainly the Palestinians and the Israelites, I mean, that whole thing is just an absolute mess over there. You can't possibly see where the good's going to come out of any of that. But there will be some type of silver lining that comes out. But I'm trying to think, in this country, where did we get so hoity-poity and pull our pants up and not give a damn about anyone else?
Yeah, it's including each other. It's really a distressing situation. I don't really know what the answer is, but certainly there's got to be some. Eventually, the ballot box is supposed to be the great protection we have against this happening. We've got to change the page in terms of the leaders we're sending to Washington, the people that we're selecting. We can't keep sending our guy up there to do the same thing. Of course, the old famous statement is the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. Why are we in this pattern where that's what we're doing? Somebody somewhere has got to come up with some rhetoric that gets everybody's attention, that we got to reset here. And because we're circling the drain right now, Tony, and it's a damn shame, because the experiment that is America works if you've got everybody shoulder to the same wheel. But right now, we roll the wheel a little bit one way and then they roll it back right back over us. That's not going to win in eventually, because everybody's going to get smashed and defeated, and we're going to be left with nothing. So with that optimistic viewpoint, change is necessary. It has to happen. And I hope that enough American citizens are starting to get to understand that the old norms are gone. I've still got friends that quote me, political theory that was based on things that happened 50 years ago. I said, it's not that kind of world anymore.
Yep.
Well, it's all trends. It's all cyclical. Well, I mean, maybe it is going to be some awful military conflict that's going to trigger some kind of solidarity. And it's sad to think that that's the only thing that might work.
We got Kip Kiefer. We got Tony Curry. We got a show called The Starting Lineup. We do it on television. Yeah, this YouTube thing's nice. But we'll get the entire ABC set up. Monty Ballard, of course, is a big part of that. We got the legend Terry Quillions on there. We've got, of course, Daryl behind it, Ashlyn, the entire crew. We have a great little workforce working for us. We do it every single Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock on ABC 3340 this week. Looking forward to catching up with my old friend. I have not talked to Paul Feinbaum probably in about, it's probably been maybe the Miami National Championship 2012. Am I going back that far? No.
Wow.
Maybe.
Well, I'm goofing off this week, so you guys are going to have to handle Paul. I find it kind of deliciously ironic that the legend, one yes. of the hosts of our show, is going to be interviewing Paul.
He is going to crap his pants. If I'm going to bring an extra pair of underwear for legend, because to see him in that, you're right. So Paul, he's always been on Paul's show. He's nobody without Paul. We don't know who the legend is without Paul. And now the legend has built himself this beautiful brand, and he's just killing it. He's doing great. That's why we have him on the show. And all of a sudden, Paul's going to be coming into his house. I cannot wait to see how awkward that is.
I want to publicly thank Paul because he's allowed the legend to really heavily promote our show on the SEC network and nationwide television audience. And I don't know about you, Tony, but I haven't shelled out any proceeds to buy that kind of exposure. So props to the legend and more props to Paul, because on Saturday morning, Paul's on a show called SEC Nation.
Yep.
The same time we're on locally on ABC 3340. So I think that's a class act with Paul, and I think it speaks volumes to how much he thinks of the legend.
Can't wait to get him on. And of course, we're going to have special guests throughout the entire spring, summer. We're going to be on all year long, all the way up till football season. And of course, we butt up against the SEC early game of the week, Oklahoma, Texas, and the SEC coming up this upcoming season. We're talking about a 12 team now, maybe a 14 team playoff. That may change before we actually get it off the ground. But it's going to be a fantastic show. Need to Know, also a fantastic show that Kip does right here on Tony Curry Radio. Make sure you get the TKR app and listen and watch wherever you possibly can. Until next week, Kiefer and Curry Show, right here on TKR.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.